I live in Israel. This season is dedicated to the memory of the 1,400 of my countrymen who were massacred on October 7th and the 240 people that were kidnapped and are being held hostage by the terrorist organization Hamas. Hopefully they will be returned to their families as soon as possible, and hopefully this terrible war will be able to come to a peaceful end very soon. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 26 of Season 6 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we take a Capra-esque journey through the 1946 classic, It's a Wonderful Life, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Lisa Leahy of Rabbit Hole Podcasts. Welcome back to the show, Lisa.
Thank you, Rob. I'm excited to be here. This is such a classic, and it's a big favorite in my family, so I was happy to get to join in.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm able to have you on. Come on, it's always nice having a teacher when you're dealing with, stories like this. I mean, did you ever read the story? Have you read the real story that this is based on?
No, as a matter of fact. No, the closest I've got is my husband has done a radio play version, and I saw that.
Okay.
Never read the story.
The Greatest Gift. It's only like 18 pages, so it shouldn't, you as a teacher, you should be able to fly through it. You know, if you want to send a copy of
in between
it,
so classes, Rob. In between classes, nice.
What do you mean in between classes? when you pass out assignments to the kids, you can just sit there and just flip through it. You know, I mean, you seem to me just like a speed reader. You know, I remember as a kid there was maybe it was on the Lecture Company or something like that, and there was like a character named the Speed Reader or something like that.
Interesting.
I think of you that way. I don't know why.
I'm actually not. I do not read as fast as people think I do. I read a lot, but I don't read quickly. So it's like, it's just because every spare minute I am typically reading. And so no, I actually do not read fast. I like to savor, especially if it's something really well written, I'll slow down. I'll read paragraphs more than once.
I read paragraphs more than once when I nod off while I'm reading, I keep rereading the same paragraph and I'm like, why am I not comprehending what I'm saying, what I'm reading here? You know, and each time close my eyes.
That's what I say when I read student papers.
I hope they're not listening. What's being said here. I hope they're not listening.
Oh, hey, they can, you know, what's interesting, Rob, you might get a few because I have some seniors this year who have found me. So they've been digging through some of my podcast appearances.
Okay, sure, no problem. I don't have a problem. You know, spring it on them. You can let them listen to all the first five seasons also. You know,
and, absolutely.
Yeah, but this is probably of the five movies I've done up until now, I think this is probably the first movie that you probably discuss in class. I doubt you talk about Die Hard. Do you have like Die Hard discussions in class?
Yes, actually. I've talked about Die Hard more than I've spoken about this one. One, because it's one of those like big deal movies that everybody has a huge debate over whether it's a holiday film. And so kids come at me because they think I have the answers. And I'm like, yes, I do have the answers. It is a holiday film.
Well, just tell them to listen. Tell them to listen to the entire season. Season three, we talked about it every week. Every one of my guests talked about the fact of whether it was or not. And I think there were two of like 25 guests that thought that it's not considered a holiday movie. Everyone else did.
They have never been invited back.
No, they've been invited back. But the idea is, you know, when, you know, you're preaching to the choir, that type of thing. It's a problem.
Exactly.
You know,
I don't have diversity in my here. Film class.
Okay. I don't have diversity when it comes to my guests. You know, most of them like the movies we talk about. You know, if not all.
That could be interesting, huh? Getting somebody in who hates the movie that you're discussing, that could be fun.
There was someone who wanted to be on this show, and he told me his outlook on this movie, and I said, I don't think so. But we'll actually talk about that a little bit this week, because some of the issues he brought up come up this week, and I figured what better person to talk to than Lisa about those things.
I love it.
So we'll get there later in the week.
Sounds good.
So minute 26 begins with Mary asking a delicate question and ends with George getting ready for the wind up. So let's start this off by why don't you tell people your background with this movie?
So it's funny, when I was growing up, my father was a big movie guy. My earliest memories of movies were watching them with my father. Like my earliest movie memory, in fact, I think my earliest memory is me watching Star Wars and seeing the stormtroopers come onto the ship and the sounds and the clicking and stuff. It's a story I've told a couple times, but my father
Not on
loved
my
this
show.
movie, watched it. What's
I
that?
said not on my show. You haven't told that story on my show.
I
So,
haven't. Oh,
no.
that's interesting. We'll have to come back to that one. So my father would watch this every year, and I was friends, I had a close-knit group of friends up through high school. And my friend Susan was a big fan of this film. Her father was big into old movies. Her mother was big into reading and old movies. So, like, that was a lot of what they did. They watched this movie. And for a time, I was one of those teenagers that, rolled my eyes at a black and white film. So I had never seen it. And up through high school, my friend Susan would try and get all of us to sit down and watch it together. And I was one of the real vehement, absolutely not. And so it became this thing where I refused to watch it just to kind of drive her nuts. I don't remember when I finally see it. It had to be probably in my mid-20s when I finally went, okay, I'm going to watch this movie. When I, had developed more of an appreciation and, liked Jimmy Stewart and liked these old films and needed to know what I was talking about, especially having spent time working at Blockbuster. So it might have been early 20s, but anyway, watched the film, completely fell in love with it, of course. I'm not the kind of person who's into sappy love stories, but this is one of my favorites. And it's one of those films that kind of holds an important place for me. The irony is that, my father adored this film. My mother refuses to watch it because she doesn't like black and white movies. So it was sort of a running joke every year that my father would watch it. I started watching it, and now my mother still doesn't want to watch it. And so it's this whole fun, aggravating each other whom we're close with, in not watching it, just to kind of be a brat.
Okay, that's fair. That is definitely fair. Yeah, I don't understand why people just my wife is that way too. She'll see a black and white movie and she'll be like, "Oh, it's in black and white. It's too old. I don't want to watch it." I got her to watch this a few years ago and she enjoyed it. So,
And there it is,
it's a
see?
question of just getting over that hurdle.
Yep.
But people who aren't movie people, I can understand that they'll look at it that way.
Yeah.
But, what can you do? Not everyone can be a movie person.
No, it's true. And it's something that, you kind of have to work your way through because then you get it with non-English speaking films too. Like I have students who will typically shut that stuff down and go, oh, I don't want to read my movies. However, I will say, in all of our favors, thank goodness for this move, the fact that nobody can hear anything anymore, and so many of us have the captions on all the time. This whole hurdle of I don't want to read my movies is going away. I have kids ask for the captioning to be on, even when we're watching English spoken films. So I think we might have finally gotten around to the non-English speaking hurdle.
Okay, I mean
So I'm
I'm like
happy
that
about
too.
that.
I love having subtitles on whatever I'm watching.
Yeah.
Because there's always something that I'm gonna miss or whatever it is. So yeah, I don't have a problem with that. The truth is I am not a fan of foreign films. And it's not
Oh,
because,
that's
and
fair.
I think it's, I don't think it's because I don't like reading the subtitles, because again, I read subtitles with English language movies, but I think it has more to do with the fact that I like the combination of both listening and reading at the same time.
Sure.
And with foreign films, I can't do that. So I do see
That's
them. I
fair.
have seen some. I've seen some that I love. It does happen. But in general, if I'm given a choice between something in a different language and something in English, I'm going with the English.
Yeah, I mean, I do have to pay attention. So, like, if I'm having a bad focus kind of day, it's got to be an English-spoken film. But as a horror fan, if I were to ignore the foreign entries, I'd be missing out on a huge category of the good
Well,
stuff.
thankfully,
So
I'm
I've
not a
got to
horror
dive in
fan, so
there.
I don't have to worry about
And see, it's perfect. It works
that.
out for you.
Yes, it does. Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna do a season of a foreign film. So
That's
people,
too bad.
no, it's fine. That's fine. You can do it. You can do it.
That's for somebody else to do.
That's right. Exactly. There are thousands upon thousands of movies out there. So we'll let other people do those. That's fine by me.
There you go.
So basically, we ended things on Friday with George and Mary walking home from the party. The two of them are wearing very strange clothing. She's wearing a robe, and he is wearing an oversized football uniform because it's apparently all they had, and they are carrying their wet clothes together also. And they're just having a normal conversation on their while they're walking, and she talks about her age, and he gives somewhat what sounds like a disapproving response, and then she says, "Too young or too old?" That's how this minute begins. He goes, "Oh no, just right. Your age fits you."
Which is such a, he's such a, I mean, I'm gonna make like stereotypical comments to this whole thing. So my running gag is gonna be he's such a boy because he says so many dopey teenage boy things. Like I can come up with, I mean, off the top of my head, three or four on one hand of friends that I had who were just like this. And I can give you, I mean, dozens of names of students who were just like this. And I think it's endearing.
Okay,
You know, like he doesn't know what he's saying and he's not thinking.
that's right. But he's also not the type of character, and we'll see this later on also. He's not your typical he's not a teenager anymore, but he's not your typical boy
True.
character. He's 21 at this point. This is 1928. Okay, so he's not your typical male character who is just after all the girls. That type of thing.
Right.
He's very shy. He's not quote unquote into Mary.
I see, I would disagree that he's not into Mary, but what I see, and this is the other thing, it might be my experiences as sort of a more fringe kid, offbeat, nerdy kid. This is exactly the kind of friends that I had. Like a little bit more of those genuine boys, more of those boys who, you know, weren't off chasing girls. That wasn't their way, and it certainly wasn't the kind of girl I was. Nobody was chasing after me. But you know, you have those close friendships, you have those fun relationships with people, and I think the most endearing boys were the ones who got tongue-tied because they just kind of let everything go without the filter and said completely ridiculous things that you couldn't get mad at because they didn't know what they were saying to begin
Right.
with.
That's true. I mean, again, there'll be a lot of things that we're going to talk about this week that fits right into there. That's basically George's personality. I mean, here you have this 21-year-old kid who, okay, I'll backtrack and take away what I said before that he's not into her, but he doesn't understand the concept of being into her. I think that's what it comes down to.
Agreed.
Okay. So
Yeah,
I
totally.
misinterpreted it a little bit the way that I said it. All right. Because he's walking her home. He's having a nice time. He's talking with her, but their conversation is very strange also,
It is.
and it gets even stranger as the week will go on. For him to say your age fits you, it's a little strange also. And then he goes, "Yes, sir, you look a little older without your clothes on." And
Exactly.
he goes, "I mean, without a dress, you look older. I mean, younger. You just." And I don't think he
He's
means this. He
fantastic.
doesn't mean this maliciously at all, or in a
Not at all.
predatory way, or anything like that. Because
He's a doofus. It's wonderful.
okay, that's a fair way to describe him.
It's charming. It's
Yes.
charming at first, I think.
Yes. And again, he doesn't. I mean, well, I'm jumping a little ahead, but he is a bookworm. He reads about things.
Yes.
He doesn't experience them. And this is something that comes up here. It'll come up later on, when he's talking with Violet 4 years from now and things like that. The idea that George experiences things by reading them, and he wants to go out and experience things in the world, but he's just not there. And that's the crazy thing about the whole thing. As much as he tries.
Yes, absolutely.
And basically, he continues walking with her, and he's just completely putting his foot in his mouth.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
And that's just it. Like she's got this knowing look where, and it's just fabulous to look from one actor to the other and just see how subtle the performances are and how you just look at Donna Reed's eyes and the cute little smirk. And she knows all she has to do is just keep walking and keep her mouth shut. And he's just going to keep on blathering on to fill the
That's
silence. And it's
right.
amazing.
Exactly. Right. So I mean, the whole thing is just really it's a strange conversation because he's putting his foot in his mouth the whole time, or whatever. And as he you know, and the two of them start getting weird about the whole thing because they both say, uh-oh.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and as basically as they're walking, so he steps on the belt of the robe that she's wearing. She has this belt that's you know, behind her. Do you think he did that on purpose?
It's hard to say because, I mean, obviously Jimmy Stewart is doing it on purpose. And you I can't come up with a solid answer for this. I think the character is not meant to have done it on purpose. I think it looks too silly for us not to notice. I think because we're so zoomed in on it and we see it happen, his left foot turns out to the left to make sure he gets it. He's a tall guy. He's got big feet. He's got big shoes. I don't know. I like the end of Inception, I can argue both ways.
Okay, that's fair.
It's right. Not a great answer, I know, but I just it's no, but cheesy.
I think at this point he didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah.
I think later in the week we'll debate that one again. But right right now I think he doesn't do it. Now my biggest question is how come she hasn't tied the robe closed in the first place?
I think she's just overwhelmed by it, both literally and figuratively.
No, she's walking. She's again, we don't know what she's wearing. Okay. And right. It doesn't matter. Okay. The idea is that she's not wearing her dress. Okay. Forget right. about whether she has undergarments on or she has nothing on. It doesn't matter either way. You know, that's not the point here of what's going on. Okay. Right. But you would think that someone like Mary, okay, is going to, she's holding the robe closed with
her
hand.
She's gonna have to either way though, because that sash, unless she wraps it up toward her neck, to the podcast listeners, I am actually like miming it with my hand. I forget sometimes that it's audio, not video. But even if she ties that around her waist, the top is gonna flop open because this is meant for like a football player with the shoulders and the pads. Like you can tell this thing is at least three sizes too big for her.
Correct.
So
I agree
way,
with you on
gonna
that.
She's going to have to hold it close. I think she just feels more secure knowing that she's relying on her own hands rather than some string. The sash.
Right. But I would think that logically she would use both. She would tie the belt.
It's fair.
And at the same time, you know, she would be, holding the top part so that
to be holding it both.
Exactly. That's what
maybe
I would
she
think.
Wants him to step on it. Maybe she wants him to step on it.
I don't think so. That I don't think so. I think
you won't even entertain it.
No, I won't entertain that because I think that she is so mesmerized by George that it doesn't matter. You know, she's not thinking straight. It's not that she wants George to step on the belt and have the robe fall off. No, she still keeps her modesty and she still wants to keep things on pretty platonic. Keep things appropriate and platonic the entire time. Okay. Yeah. But I think that her mind is a little mushy at this point because here she's with the man of her dreams or the boy of her dreams. Yeah. Or however you want to refer to it. Yeah, that's what I think.
I think that's fair.
Right. And then George apologizes in a very strange fashion because he says, oh, I'm on the thing here. He doesn't even know to call it a belt. You know, the belt to the thing. And then she turns around and says, sir, my train, please.
Yes.
You know, and then he picks it up and
he
goes,
just kind of flops it over.
That's right. A pox upon me for a clumsy lout. Mm-hmm. Your caboose, milady.
Caboose. Like, and that's such a non-attractive word, too. It's hilarious. It cracks me up every time he says it. Caboose? Like, no, that's not her caboose. The caboose that's is right. A little further up. It's too funny, though.
No, caboose is what trails at the end.
Yes, I know.
You know,
but you
he's not talking about her. He's not talking about her posterior. Okay,
what I thought, though.
No, I don't think when he says caboose, that's what he's referring to. He's referring to the fact that this is what's trailing at the end of your train. Mm-hmm. You know, because she says, "Sir, my train," and he goes, "Okay, your caboose." But it's funny that he calls her Milady.
Yes.
You know, which
I think it's sweet.
yes. Do you know the what the terminology of Milady means?
Nope.
Okay,
I
it's
can
a
spell it, but I can't actually tell you.
okay, it is the French way of addressing a noblewoman. Basically,
No.
it's the feminine form of milord, which is also, you
Which
know,
makes sense.
it makes a lot of sense. Do you know fictional characters that we know of as Milady? See, I always love trapping the English teacher.
No, because I'm learning French on Duolingo. I don't necessarily read. I mean, I'm coming up with, like probably somebody in the Three Musketeers or the Count of Monte Cristo, but I can't. I'm getting it right, so that's good. But I haven't read either of those in a very, very long time, so
But
it's
have you
not
seen
coming
the
to mind.
movies? Did you ever see
Years
the
ago.
Did you ever see the 1994 Three Musketeers, you know, with Kiefer Sutherland and Charlie Sheen,
No,
Rebecca De
actually,
Mornay?
I'm more into The Man in the Iron Mask and Gabriel Byrne as D'Artagnan,
Okay.
like Jeremy Irons. Like I like that version of them. I just think of them as being older. I don't think of them as heartthrobs, you know what I mean? The way the
Okay.
94 one portrays them.
Okay, well the wait, it's 94, maybe it's 93. It's 93, I think, if I remember
Yeah,
correctly.
it's somewhere in that early
Yeah, I think
90s
it's not, I
range.
think it's 93. 93. But first of all, I love that version. I think it's a great version because it's so
Yes.
much fun. Not because they're heartthrobs, just it's a
Yeah.
fun version of it.
Of course.
And so
But if you look at that cast, that was definitely teasing out the teenage girls.
Oh,
You've got Chris O'Donnell coming off
for
Circle of
sure.
Friends, and you've got Kiefer Sutherland, and for definitely.
For sure. So the character of Milady de Winter was played by Rebecca
Oh.
De Mornay.
Oh, all right, fair enough.
So that is the character. It was actually one of, I mean, in that version at least, it was the ex lover of one of them, of Kiefer Sutherland's Catholic character. I'm trying to remember
Ah,
which one he
gotcha.
was. I think he was he Athos? I think he was Athos, if I remember correctly.
I like I said, that one it's been years, like it's
Well, you
just
said
not
you never
my.
saw it, so.
But that's I don't remember the trailers either. Like I don't remember who was what in that, so.
One of the things I love about that, I love the music in that movie. You know,
Oh yes,
it's
that
got
did have really good music.
All for Love, you know, with Sting, Bryan
Dang it, Bryan
Adams,
Adams.
and Rod Stewart, all three of
I
them together.
remember. Who was the third?
Rod Stewart.
Oh, that's right. Good point.
Yeah.
God, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So right. So Kiefer Sutherland played Athos. So there we go. It was Athos.
Look at you.
Yeah. Well, I looked it
I'm
up.
getting you on my trivia team, man. Oh, all right. Yeah, but you remembered before you looked it up.
Yes, I was right. I just wasn't
You need
100%
that
confident.
confirmation.
That's right. I wasn't 100% confident on that.
Got it.
And then she puts out her hand and goes, "You may kiss my hand."
So cute.
And at this point, they both notice that things are getting a little bit too serious for what they're really looking for here. You know, we see Mary
But
gets
when you get
nervous.
into somebody's personal space, you know what's going to happen.
That's
So it
right.
makes a difference.
That's true. And then George changes the subject, goes, hey, Mary. And she starts just singing. know, she
Too
continues.
soon. Too
She
soon. Can't do
continues.
it.
That's right. She continues with Buffalo Gals. And he just turns away and says, okay, then I'll throw a rock at the old Granville house.
Back to being a boy. Let's throw some rocks.
That's right. Oh, no, you don't. I love that house. Now you see, you make a wish, and then you try and break some glass. And you gotta be a pretty good shot nowadays, too. Meaning that most of the windows have been broken already. And no, she says, oh no, George, don't do it. It's full of romance, that old place. I don't understand why. Why would you think that that old
Gothic.
house?
It's gothic romance. I totally get it.
Yeah, okay.
It's gothic. It's she's looking at that house and she's seeing what it once was and what it could be again. Like, 'cause she wants to live there and she would bring this house back to its former glory kind of thing. I can see it. Like you think about those Victorian gothic romances and it's just sort of like how there's that tragedy in the romance, how there's loss in the romance, but they still love each other despite all of it. Like I see it.
Okay. And then she continues and says, I'd like to live in it. And George goes, in that place? And he goes, I wouldn't live in it as a ghost.
See?
the boy with the literal logic and the girl with the vision, you know, like that's it's fitting the stereotypes left and right.
That's right. I mean, it's great how basically what he's saying is I wouldn't be caught dead there. You know, that's more or less what he's saying by the
pretty much
the way that he's saying that here. You know, it's a great line the way exactly he does it.
It's lovely. I do like it quite a bit.
And then he starts, he picks up a rock and starts winding up, getting ready for the pitch. And then that's where the minute ends.
Does.
So, I mean, I thought it was really interesting. The whole idea of, you know, breaking a window is like a, you know, superstitious act, you know,
stuff like that.
You know, have you ever heard that? I know breaking a mirror is supposed to be bad luck. So Why is breaking the window of an old Gothic haunted house, you know, considered to be good luck? Or why they get a wish, you know?
I had never heard of that. Like, that's not something I grew up with. I think it's nicer than I'm simply going to cause more destruction to this place. I think this version gets them out of that. I'm just some, you know, bratty young person who's going to break things because I can. I think this gives it some of that Gothic romance. It gives it some whimsy. And so I like the way that gets fit in here.
Yeah. But it's also the whole idea that I don't know if this is the way to, quote unquote, woo a woman by telling her I'm going to go and break a window.
No, yeah. Definitely not. But he's not focused on that right now, you know? Like, that's not something he's trying to do.
Right. Well, he is and he isn't. That's how
strong.
It goes back to what we were saying before. You know, on the one hand, he does, that is his goal here, but he doesn't realize that that's his goal.
Well, that's just it. Exactly. Like, he's just there walking home and it's very slowly dawning on him. Like, you got to wait this one out and wait for the light bulb to flicker on, you know?
Right. All right. So you have anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the segment?
I think we have covered it.
Okay. So every Monday we have a segment called Capra Monday, where my guests will give their top five Frank Capra movies. So Lisa, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
I'm going to embarrass myself. I only have three.
Okay.
Because I've only seen three Capra movies.
You're in good company because Jay also only had three. So there you go.
Oh, I feel a little better, but it's still like, ugh. Like, I was looking at the list and I was like, this is embarrassing. I need to see more. Clearly, this is what I need to do for next year.
There you go.
So my number three is It's a Wonderful Life. So again, I mean, I guess I've only seen two other ones. I don't have anything new to add, unfortunately.
Okay. You see, you had so much time to prepare and you didn't do it.
No. I didn't go and like watch it. But see, what's the chance that I'm going to watch extra ones that are going to be like fighting for those top spots? I figured let's keep it authentic. These are the ones I've seen. Let's not rush it. So,
well, one second. Do you complain when your students cram for a test? And maybe that's why you didn't do it.
No, No, I don't. All I want them to do is open the book at all. They won't even do that much.
Oh, okay.
But no, with this, I would have. It would.
You need
been
to send them little TikTok, videos, and they'll.
I appreciate very much that you think I'm cool enough to use TikTok.
No, I didn't know.
I am not.
I didn't think you were cool enough to use TikTok. I just know that your students probably do. I have the same issue with my kids.
They do, but thanks for that, Rob.
You know, I have the same issue with my kids. You know, it's like.
I love it.
You know, I. You know, one of my sons last week wanted to know, we installed a new fan. And he's like, what does this button do? And I said, well, why don't you read the book that has the instructions and it'll tell you what it does. And he said, oh, just push it and see what it does. I said, no.
Exactly.
Go and take the book and do it. And he refused to take the book and do it. And in the end, and he pushed.
He just pushed the button.
He pushed the button and nothing happened. And then afterwards, you know, so I went and read it in order to explain to him what it is. And I said, this is a button that basically is a timer that after 30 minutes, the fan will turn off. So if you push it, nothing is going to happen right now. You have to wait 30 minutes. And then if you push it twice, you have to wait 60 minutes and stuff like that. But that is the generation. That's the generation of today. You know,
But I'm also like, I would absolutely have pushed the button because I'm more interested in let's see what happens. You know, I'm a little bit of the F around and find out.
There you go. Okay. Fair enough.
What I do when I play Phasmophobia. I take all the cursed objects and I go, what happens if I do this? And then I die immediately. Okay, I go, well, that's what you do when that happens.
And then you go back. That's fine.
Exactly. My next one is Arsenic and Old Lace. You know, one of the classics of the classic comedies. I think that one is super fun. And, you know, I'm sure that one's in a lot of people's top three. One of those big famous ones. Again, you know, you've seen it on stage, you see it in the films, and he did a really great job with it. And my favorite is It Happened One Night, because I went into this place for a while and I don't know exactly how it started, but I was craving old black and white films as a kind of comfort. I don't know if I was like having some anxiety kickups or what, but there was something to having, you know, let me just find on TCM some old movie that I can just have on. And like, you know, the lights off, curled up in bed, just sort of like hanging out, watching some old movie. And I had never seen It Happened One Night. And so I found it. I was like, I'm putting this on. And it's sort of like the pinnacle of that comfort, sweet sort of black and white film to kind of like ease the anxiety kind of thing. So I go back to that one for it.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Not even because of the plot or anything, but there's something about that movie that just brought me that feeling.
You just like watching the genesis of Bugs Bunny.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's exactly what it was. You found me. You got me.
There you go. All right. Great. So you want to tell people where they can find Lisa Leahy?
You can find Lisa Leahy in the Rabbit Hole Podcast Network. I show up there on a number of different shows, including Between the Scares, in which Jason Soto and I are working our way through every film that Jason Blum and Blumhouse Productions have put out into the world. And I am also the host of our Rabbit Hole Podcast Book Club, which is called Pictures and Conversations. Each month we select a new title and we have a discussion about it. And we're ending the year with sort of a wrap up of reading and what we enjoy and what kind of things we like to talk about before we get back into it for 2024. We haven't picked our new books yet, so you'll have to keep an eye out for that.
All right, great. And while you're doing that, you can go review and subscribe to any podcatcher might be using to listen to the show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, which is for some reason now called X. And you can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. So until tomorrow, hot dog.
Hot dog.
I love you truly, truly dear. Life with its sorrow, life with its tears.